Today, I'm joined by Kathy Bressler, founder of Alter Community in Chicago. Back in 2005, Kathy wrote a personal vision for her future, one that described a healing and personal growth center she would one day lead. She tucked it away in a drawer where it quietly waited for years until the spark of possibility was reignited through women's circles and community events. From that seed, Alter Community was born, emerging at the very dawn of the pandemic, a challenge Kathy met with resilience and carried forward with purpose. Kathy's work encompasses workshops, retreats, and community gatherings, and she brings both an MBA and extensive study in the field of spirituality to everything she does. She's here today to share her journey, and whether you're a solopreneur building something of your own or a woman seeking deeper connection and community, you're sure to leave with wisdom and inspiration. Let's dive into the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I'm excited to welcome Kathy Bressler to the podcast. Kathy and I met just a few short months ago. I think it was in late January when she hosted Tama Keeves at Alter Community. It was my first time seeing Tama talk like that, and it was my first time stepping foot into Alter Community. I'm just going to read something that I pulled from the website of Alter. And Kathy had written, "Alter Community is more than a business to me. It's a movement." I want to cry. "This unique third space was born from my own longing for a place where I could show up fully as myself without pretense or pressure. I wanted to create a community where deep conversations, shared wisdom, and meaningful connections could flourish, supporting each woman's journey in a way that feels authentic and nourishing." And I would say, Kathy, that even with my first stepping, now I've been to two events with you, into the space that was met the moment I stepped in. And so it's just with gratitude I welcome you here. I'm so excited to dive in a bit to what you're up to at Alter. And just, I want to say first and foremost, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, for that mirroring my words back to me. I haven't read that or heard that in a hot second. And that really is like, it's so silly, right? I'm like, yeah, that is what I meant to do.
Yes, but I love that.
It means a lot that, you know, I do. I hear that a lot from different women from all different walks. Like, they just feel very safe and held and seen and welcome in the space. And there's a lot of magic in that. A lot of magic.
Yeah. And I know that there's a lot of intention that for anyone who's either living in the Chicago area, or of course, we're a major hub in the United States and the world. So, you know, even if you're in town, a place to check out. And so we're going to just talk about it and include that information and everything. But I was going to say, my experience of being in the space and the way that you've designed it and almost like adorned it and was with a lot of reverence and sacred intention, I'm going to say. But why don't we start with what you just shared before we hit record about you revisiting something you had written more than 20 years ago, if that feels like a good place to start.
We can. I know I was, you know, I sort of dread the question of like, so how did you decide to create Alter? You know, it's like, it's kind of an iterative story, but the real origin story is that in 2005, I had just finished, I had breast cancer when I was 38. And it was really actually a really powerful moment for me where I feel like I had been trying to succeed, trying to be normal, trying to sort of like live somebody else's idea of success. And that was like a moment I had been kind of hiding my mystical side. I kind of kept it under wraps because it really wasn't, I didn't come from a world where that was really accepted. And anyway, so I was trying to figure out, what do I want to do? I don't want to go back to my corporate job. And a friend of mine who was a life coach at the time, which is sort of like before that was even a thing, right? I was like, that sounds great. She said, why don't you let me show you what life coach process is, and maybe you'll want, that's something you want to become. So in the process, she had me do this vision exercise. You may have done it. Imagine yourself, it's 10 years in the future. You wake up in the morning. Where are you? Who are you with? What are you doing? And you sort of go through all the different areas of your life. And I just like, I'm not a great visualizer, but for me in that moment, it was so clear. I saw myself in this healing center. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read you exactly what I wrote because it's
Please.
uncanny. So it said, I said, I'm part of a dynamic healing center that allows me to interact with a diverse group of practitioners and thought leaders in the area of health, healing, and personal transformation. I am part of a collaborative and dynamic team that is asking provocative questions, seeking new ideas and solutions to age-old problems. It's a collaborative environment where I'm able to contribute through my insight, personal experience, and clinical expertise. The center is both a respected lightning rod for cutting-edge inquiry and a results-oriented practice where we make a real difference in the lives of individuals. I give my best to the individuals I serve and the collaborative community of seekers with whom I work. I balance my intuitive and analytical sides, and my work accommodates both my conventional and unconventional aspects. There's a sense of shared vision, dynamic energy, new possibilities, and hope. I am a leader within the group. I'm a team player with vision and passion and commitment that inspires and motivates those around me. People feel that without me, the center would not be the same. We are serious professionals working at the heart of issues related to health, healing, and personal transformation. We are not new age quacks, but incorporate alternative and unconventional thinking and ideas. And I mean, at the time, I had an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. I had no like real, I had an MBA. Like I just had this yearning to be a part of that and to create that and to sort of translate everything that I had given to my family as a mother into like the broader community of women. I mean, so, and the interesting thing is this was 2005. I sort of came out of that vision and was like, well, that nothing like that is happening in Chicago. I'm going to have to move to California. And I put it in a drawer and I didn't look at it again until 2012. And then, like through so much synchronicity, which I won't tell the whole story, we'll get at pieces of it, but like, it eventually came to pass, and I
Yes,
just couldn't give it up.
what you understand about life, or what you know about energy or intention, or all of that, what was ignited when that pen hit the paper and you put those words down?
I know. I mean, I felt it came so out of left field because I mean, it's just such a metaphor, right? It was like, I was totally unqualified to do this, yet like everything in me was like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And so I did. I put it away and I raised my kids and little by little I did my own work, right? I did everything under the sun in a way, like energy healing. And I went back to school. I went back to school, I was ordained as an interfaith, interspiritual minister, and I did a year of spiritual direction training and Enneagram and a 4-year spiritual psychology, like all for myself in a way that eventually I just started sharing it with the women in my life. I partnered with a dear friend and we started a women's circle in my living room that's called LIFT, Living in Flow Together, which, was
Nice.
her name, which I love. And we just created a container for women to explore what was going on, and we talked about this a little bit, and to show up differently than the way we were being invited to show up in the carpool line or at school and with the other moms or in our corporate jobs, like
Right.
really authentic, real, no pretense, no competition. And it kind of just all grew out of my own path that eventually, like, I was like, ooh, how can I help? I wish I had had more compatriots, on my journey. I felt like I would fly to New York, I would fly to California. There wasn't a lot happening in Chicago at the time. And so part of Alter was just like, I created the thing I wish I had.
Yes. And by in doing so, like when you're kind of showing like these how we grew up, how we saw models on television shows or articles in magazines that addressed the fighting that occurs, or how, right, or the drama or the chaos, which is still perpetuated through a lot of programming, but you were literally changing the conversation. And I think with even that foundation, it's like, oh, okay. And when you give, or when you gave, or are giving women this opportunity to change the conversation, to really touch upon subjects that light us up from within, the energy can just start to shift, because you need the experience to know what it feels like. Has that been your experience as well?
It makes me think of, like, there was a quote I used to share in the at the opening of every session of the Women's Circle, and it was something, I think it was a Kate Northrup quote, but it was something like, you know, when one woman shows her underbelly, you know, it gives permission to the next one to do the same until none of us are playing smaller than we should be, right? It was something like that. And it was just like, that was the big lesson. It was like, and actually that was like breast cancer. Actually, I found, like, I just was like, this is me. This is what's happening to me. And so many women, it just changed the conversation, right? We stopped talking about superficial stuff that didn't matter, and we got really real. But because I was really longing, like, that's the kind of the only conversation I ever want to be in anyway, I kind of had this excuse to be really real and
To
really
go
vulnerable.
there.
My whole life I was told, you're too sensitive, you're too intense, you're too introspective, you're too, and all of a sudden it was very appropriate to be that way when you have a life-threatening illness. And I kind of used it as this, like, coming out. And what I found was all these women that I thought I couldn't relate to or connect with, just by me showing up really authentically and vulnerably, gave them permission to do it. And all of a sudden, we were all in this rich, real conversation. And that was such an eye-opening thing for me. Like, it just takes one person to start it. And if I need to be the one, because that's the kind of conversation I want to be in anyway, like, I'm happy to do that.
Yes. I love that. And how in your life that unwellness, it was like a lighter to what you were becoming. And yeah, I love that. So then the women around you were also showing you that the experience could be different. So it was you kind of changing and creating the invitation in a sense, but everyone else was like, I'm ready to show up to the degree we're ready to show up at the time, right?
And of course, like, I hear a lot, like, oh, I don't talk like, I don't talk like this with anybody but you, right? Or I would never, you know, but it's like, but there's such a hunger, I think, for us,
I do
for all
too.
humans, but especially for women, I think, to just have that safety to feel really like whoever we are is okay. We don't have to perform. And for whatever reason, it's kind of rare.
Yes. And I'm very curious too, because around the same time out here, we're just west of the city, my dear friend Susan Lucci, whom I think you know, she was beginning her women's circles here. So I find that I love to look at periods of time and what was sort of cropping up like in different areas. And it was very rare, but my kids were younger too. And I just knew in my heart that I was meant to be in her. She started out like at a business locally, and then eventually moved to her home. And then I was doing Sue's circles for easily more than 5 years. I would say more like 8 years or something like that. But they were the place that was my sanity when my children were young. And I would walk away so inspired and uplifted that I would go to the playground, because I remember at one point, it must have been my younger son was still in kindergarten and it was half day. And I would go and talk and talk and talk and talk about it. And just whoever wanted to end up with her, they would be there. But I would say to any listener, just follow the path that you're being called on. Even if you want to bring everyone with you and like the people around you aren't ready yet for it, or maybe never, do your thing and go with the attraction. Like, you know, whether it's a program that you see that's running. And I think when Tama Keefe sent me that, invite to your place back in January, I knew right away. I was like, I'm in, I'm in. And it was like a gut response. And while I, that whole saying that if it's not a hell yes, it's not a yes. From my experience, like sometimes it is a hell yes, but sometimes I'm like not ready for the yes yet.
Right. I agree. Like sometimes it is, and then sometimes you kind of got to know that like there's like the yes, but then there's the like resistance or like I'm a little scared, right? Like I once went for a whole week to a it was called Sacred Feminine Mystery School in Costa Rica. I mean, I got the email. I was like, "Oh, I have to go do this." And I am terrified, right? Like and it was both, and I went and it was amazing. You know what I mean? It was a yes. And then I had to kind of like walk myself into because it was a real edge. But I'm glad I did, right? And every good thing I've ever done has been just like more of an intuitive decision to follow what feels lit up for me, even if I can't make sense of it until after the fact.
And so I don't know if this would be the right place to share it, but you had shared with me when I ran into you one day just then how Alter came to life and this serendipity or synchronicity or the signs from the universe literally putting something in your lap that allowed you to bring an actual physical brick and mortar center to life. Do you want to share?
I can't even remember what I shared with you, but like I had such a strong feeling even from back in 2005, like I'm supposed to create a space. And then I created these circles in my living room and everybody was like, "You're the center, you're the space, you don't need a space," you know, and we would put it out there and then it wouldn't happen. And I mean, if Alter is anything, it is like a lesson in stick with it because there are so many twists and turns. But I think what you're so anyway, it had had several iterations, and I was in seminary doing my interspiritual ministry, and I had given up completely on having a physical space. And then there was an assignment to write a service or something. And whatever the structure they had given me, I was just totally blocked. And I thought to myself, well, everyone tells me my lift circle feels how church should feel, right? And so I was like, okay, what if I just imagine my lift circle in a sacred space of its own? Like, what would I do? And it like downloaded the whole thing immediately. And I thought, oh, this is magical. And then a couple of hours later, my friend Heidi, who had been in my circle, we never talked on the phone. She called me on a Saturday afternoon and she was like, "Have you ever thought about taking Lyft out of your living room and into a space of its own? Because I just walked by an empty Starbucks and I got a hit that like you're going to do that and I'm going to help you." And like instantaneously, I was right back at this like vision and like I'm like, "Oh, I have a plan." And then within a month, we had a space and it all came together. It was like a switch flipped. I was like, "I'm not doing this. I am doing this." And then everything just really genuinely fell into place. I mean, and then we opened on like the month that COVID happened, you know. So like
Well, that's what I was just in the parts where, because I think a lot of people I know, and I know who our listeners are solopreneurs. They've got their own business they're running. And you know how there's those statistics that say that solo entrepreneurs, whatever, like let's just say most of them crash and burn. And so I don't even know what the number is. But I think that there's lessons into, I know one for me is we create the thing without really knowing what the heck it's going to become. And I don't know, have there been times in the process for you, like you're saying, persevere with your vision, but have there been times that have been unsure for you or, during when the pandemic did hit, were you like, what the heck is this meant to be? Like all the questioning of what's meant to be.
Yes, I mean, for sure. I feel like most of the time, I feel like I've no idea what I'm doing. And like, I feel like I get so much feedback from women, like, thank you for creating this. This is exactly what I needed. And frankly, I created the thing I needed, right? So like I have a lot of confidence in like that dimension, but like the running of it, the like sort of like it's one thing. I'm such a visionary. It's one thing to like have this idea. It's a whole nother thing to like make it real and sustain it. You know, like that is for me where a lot of the wobbliness is, not in like the concept, you know, it's more just, you know, just sort of like the realization of it, the making it real. Yeah, I, you know, when COVID hit, this is how deep in it I was. I had friends who were like, oh my God, you must be devastated. You know, they saw, they're like, your thing is not happening. And I was like, what do you mean? This is going to be over in like 3 weeks, you know, 3 months. Like I just put my head down and just kept on working at it. And I was fortunate that we could, through a lot of different circumstances, stay o open. You know, I didn't have to like just abandon ship. And I often say, if it hadn't been fully formed and ready to go, I for sure would have taken that as a sign from the universe. Like, I guess this dream wasn't meant to happen. But it was like there waiting. It like basically what it looks like today. It was like ready to go on March 13th. So it is so hard. I feel like the other thing I feel like, I don't know if it's a lesson, but it's like, I think I spent a lot of my life thinking because I was in, you know, I got an MBA. I was like in places I didn't feel like I totally was aligned. And I thought, when I'm doing work that is the work I'm meant to do, that is meaningful, that is like, you know, my sacred work, then like everything will be easy and amazing,
We'll
right?
have arrived.
I mean, and like I look back and I think like, okay, how naive. But I, if anything, it's like it's almost harder. I care so much about this. I care so much. It's like a third child, you know? And I feel like I'm kind of a helicopter mom to this, to alter in a way that I wasn't with my actual children, right? It's tricky. It's real tricky. But it's also, you know, like I didn't really set out to create a business. That was not my mindset. I was creating a community, a center,
An
a
experience.
refuge, an experience, an urban sanctuary, you know, and only now am I, you know, like, oh, right. And it needs to be financially sustainable and it needs to like, you know, it needs to be operationally sustainable and all those things, which, you know, I just, that was not,
Yeah,
I would have
that's
gotten there probably, but COVID sort of was a
yes.
detour.
I know. And I think that I know for Mystical Sisterhood, creating the name first and then all of a sudden, like, oh, it's meant to be a podcast. Ways in which my fullest expression was wanting to come forward in this lifetime, which has not reached its peak yet. Like, I've just been learning. And when I hit around January 1st this year, and I thought, like, this podcast has been here for 3 years, I'm like, wow, you know. Has it soared yet? No, but will it? Yes. And I know that it's sort of like I was saying, like hold, being able to hold the vision for what it is, but you have to do a lot of like friction work below the surface, you know, to understand. And I think it's when you're running your own thing too, you don't yet always know the why behind the vehicle you chose. But what I think is starting to become so exponential, and I mentioned this to you before we recorded, is that, you know, my girlfriend writes me this morning, do you know about this place in Logan Square? I interviewed yesterday, or she was live on the podcast, Heather Frelick, who I met at your event. People I know that I've met in the years of doing this know you. And so it's like my
Amazing.
mantra a little bit has been like, oh, this is getting really good. This is getting fun. This is, and it's still not without the background. What am I doing again? What am I doing again? You know, because what we're doing can have that blanket like phrase of what it is, but the true Kathy or the true Maureen or the true whoever the business owner is or the visionary or the whatever, it's just we're and a lot of, you know, intuitives are saying now we're remembering. We are remembering why we came, and we have these codes, and we have these, you know, like unique. My teacher Melanie Ramone will say, like, it's your fingerprint. It's unique to you, and that's both challenging and a whole lot of fun. at the same time.
It's so beautifully said. Yes, I couldn't agree more, right? It's like I once heard Martha Beck years ago, and she was talking about way showers and how we've been dispersed, right? We were sort of like dropped. I feel like we're sort of like dropped into these families or into these worlds in which we were like the black sheep or the sort of like the like one of these things is not like the other. And she talked about how now is the time of like the way shower, like the team is gathering, like we're finding one another, like whatever you want to call that, the witches, the way showers, the just the soulful, you know. Someone I once had a reading where someone said, oh, you're like in the first row of the roller coaster, the first car of the roller coaster. You're like out in front, but there's a whole bunch of people that are willing to like be in the cars behind, and like you're like blazing the trail. And it's just so delightful. And that can be so lonely to feel like this deep yearning and like clear path that I have, that like I look around and like nobody understands that or isn't doing it. But you know, again, like part of what Alter is like all these women for whom that has kind of been the experience, right? In their soul, wanting to, a lot of us worked in corporate and left corporate to try and find something more aligned, more juicy, more, you know, generative. And it's just amazing to you and Heather were talking about the weaving and the web. Like it's so amazing to just feel
It
the
truly is.
connectivity and the intergenerational women, you know, older, younger, sharing their experiences and just knowing like we're not alone, and each of us needs to like be our print, you know, like that's the job.
That's the job, right? And I think it's so fun to have younger people hearing this information too. You know, the two things I've been to were Tama Keevs and then Marianne Williamson. And I know for you, I mean, that was nothing you probably could have ever scripted, right? That she would be coming for, I think, more than the first time to your place and calling up Kathy and like just, and it's not even, I think what's going away for me is any sort of like hierarchy. And this person's here. Okay, they have this many followers. It's like, no. If we're talking about a whole new paradigm, we're wiping the slate clean. I'm looking over. I have a spirituality and health magazine with Sonia Choquette on the front. Like she's always been a big name and, you know, in the world of spirituality. Could she come in the podcast? Absolutely. That's not out of the question because I just think that things are just really calibrating in a new way. And that's why, like for me, I joined a pod. It was called Pod Match, and it was a great organization to match you with guests. But at the end of the day, it got overwhelming for me. And I'm like, I like an organic process of people I meet. And if I know they're doing fabulous work, I want them to come on. They don't have to have a million followers. And in fact, like I put together this resource guide just over a year ago, and it was 30 plus practitioners who had, you know, I gave everyone the invitation, and I would be putting in their Instagram and like their links and everything. Most of them had less than 1,000 followers, you know? And I'm like, these women are amazing. Like, that's not the metric what we're looking at. There's the metrics are great, whatever, but I don't want to live by them.
And like amazing. Like if that's who I also know, I also really have tried to pay attention to like what's easy and what's natural, you know? Like people say to me all the time, like, oh my God, how did you make this space? Like, how did you know how to do it? How did you do that? I'm like, I don't know, but like, I know how to do that. That part's easy. And I don't value it in a way because it was so easy. It didn't take a lot of trying and effort and figuring out, right? For some people, being on the big stage or really working the social media, everybody's got their way. And I'm really, one of the things I'm really like learning and reminding myself is like, we just all, you said it, it's like the print, like, we just have to do our way. And let every and then love and accept and uplift everybody else who's doing their way, you know, and not waste our energy being like, oh, I should be more like Maureen, you know, or whatever that is, which is so human and whatever. But I have one of my beloved teachers talks about how everyone is an answer. Like nobody is the answer for like how are we going to save the earth, humanity, whatever, the big questions, right? The only the answer is when everybody is there and answer.
If you look at someone and what they're doing, one of the things that I always loved was when someone would say, if I can do it, you can do it. Because that seems like, oh, yeah, easy for you to say because you've had your women's beautiful place for years now. But it's absolutely 1,000% true. And we all have it, whatever it's meant to be, whether it's the volunteerism, whether it's the teacher, whether it doesn't have to be even today. I think that the mystical is taking its seat at the table and it's ready to shine. And yet it's not for everybody. And that's okay because we come in different packages, different flavors, all the things.
I once had to write an essay, what was my spiritual path, in order to get into a program that I was applying to. And I started by saying, like, I was born a mystic, like with a mystic's heart in like a suburban family, like a suburban, like I just, and it took, and it was like, I'm so grateful for it because it made me really over time, like really own and accept who I am. It's painful still for me to feel like nobody gets me, and I'm this like kind of, but the mystical is so alive for me. It just always has been. Just, I don't know. And I'm curious about it. And so I love finding other, I said to you before we started recording, like mystical sisterhood. Like that's all I have ever wanted. Like it's what altar is in a way.
Yes,
And it's
yes.
not for everybody. Like it's just not for everybody, and that is really okay. It doesn't make anybody bad or wrong,
Yes,
me
yes.
or them. And it takes everybody.
Oh my gosh, it really does. And it's just so exciting to see women getting like super excited about what they have going on. And like one of the things I've studied along the way was conscious parenting. And even that, like it putting your creativity and your heart and your soul to doing it the way you want to do it. Often, my thing was always because the experience I had, I can look at the gifts more than I ever could, but I wanted to do things differently. And that was it. And, part of that, I think when my kids were young and my parents were still here, it was not always easy because forging a new path does not tend to be. And there might be some not approval on the sidelines and everything, just anything new we do. But I mean, I guess that point being made is, I think what you and I are saying to anyone considering what their thing is, and if there's something they want to bring to life, is like, we're here for you. We've been there. And I don't even know how I did it when I first put the podcast out. And I mean, it was like a sleepwalking in a way. It just happened. And like you're kind of saying, was
Just
all
did
there.
it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And
I definitely did not, for better or for worse, I did not think, very far ahead, other than like I felt this compelling to create this space, and it was so easy, and I did it. And then now, and then the rest has been harder.
yeah.
But I also feel like, back to the thing about, like, I have been told many times that, like, the reason I created Altar, right? It's not really about Altar. It's like all creating Altar was my path for like the growth, like my soul's path, or like the growth I needed. And it was just a vehicle, and that's helpful, I think, to remember, because I mean, there's no denying it has been an enormous growth experience. Like, I mean, it has caused me to have to work through so much, so many patterns, so many things. And the funny thing is, like, patterns, fears that, like, when I would bump up against them at other times in my life, I just quit. I was in corporate and I was like, this isn't a match. I don't like this. And I just quit because I didn't really care. And then I'm doing this thing that is my like heart, soul project. And there was no quitting. Like I wasn't going to quit. And I bumped up against all those such difficult places, so much. And I just didn't have a choice but to work through it. And it has not been easy, but I'm so grateful, right? Because I know for a fact I would have just would have been easy to just be like, I just couldn't quit this one. So
Yeah, I love it. Those patterns Those patterns are sticky, aren't they?
Oh man, yes.
But they'll keep on coming back around and around in a new form, in a different form,
Yeah.
until we confirm. I mean, because even if you would have let Alter go, at some
Correct.
point, they would have still been coming for you.
Oh, of course. And it's not over, you know. I
Right.
will say too, one of the things that I feel like you touched on it, but this, like, yes, we should all do what it is we're here to do. But a big lesson for me has been like just being me, like just
Yeah.
being, it sounds a little cheesy, but like just being authentically, like being the beacon, being the lighthouse, like just can you stand still and just beam your energy, and you don't have to know like how and why that's making impact and ripples. And if everybody, especially women, would just do that,
Oh yeah. Oh
right?
yeah.
Like,
I love
so
it so
good.
much. And it is the more we like what you're saying about facing the fears and the patterns and the things that are coming to you and what you have to face and how you have to communicate and the roadblocks that require us to. And communication is a big part of all of this because, so many of us grew up where we were more suppressed, or I find most adults are relearning communication, hands down, right? And the way that I can see too, from where I sit, that's very encouraging, very promising. I touched upon it too, is the ways that I'm hearing about Alter and seeing how it spread. Or even when I had Heather on, Heather said to me that she told some girlfriends she was going to be on Mystical Sisterhood and they knew about the podcast. And I'm like, what? And so I bet that you're starting to get that more and more and more. And in fact, one of my friends, my first career was speech language pathology. And my good friend Colette, she's, oh, you're, I posted about the Marianne Williamson event. Oh, you're going, I'm going. And she lives really far out. And she had been to another event like a couple of years ago at your place. And so that's the magic, is that this just how this is all growing, because we can just say it in the mystical kind of way, more love, more light, more embracing, more compassion, like all of these qualities expanding into the universe is really needed right now. And these are safe, almost like refuges, and then also models for other people in other towns that want to do what you do.
I mean, that's my really, that's I have lots of women in other cities who are like, when can we have Alter here? You know? And it's like, well, when we get the model, when we get this, you know, sustainable so that I can help you do it well. Like I don't want anybody like having to learn it all again. But yeah, you know, this kind of loose network web of women, and it's not like SoulCycle. It's not like cookie cutter, you know, it's like, what does your community want? Right? Like what's the altar? What's the expression? What's the altar you want to build? And
I love that.
do they love it?
And the design of your place too, as we kind of like circle towards the end of our time together today, Kathy, is the beauty of the space of Alter. Can you just go through and just say a little bit about how you designed it? Because I know there's a womb room. I mean, people
There's
aren't.
boom room.
Yeah, so anything you want to share about just how you design the space?
It's kind of like what you said about the podcast. Like, listen, I love beautiful spaces. I come from a long line. Like, my grandmother had the most beautiful home, modern, clean artwork. My mother has beautiful, like, I come from a line of like making really spaces that really nourish and are beautiful and feed the soul. And I love to do that. So some of it was just, I brought all kinds of things from home. I have two really dear friends that were in my, we've been friends for a long time that are designers. So they kind of helped me put it together. But it, I don't know, I honestly, I just made the space that I felt totally at home, and it's serene. It's a little international. I've traveled a lot, so I brought a lot of my treasures from my travels and brought them to Alter. And I don't know, I'm a Virgo. Detail is like my thing. I'm priestess kind of. I don't know. It's my husband teases me that, It's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like I made Kathy's Playhouse, but Kathy's Playhouse is this like urban sanctuary that's
Right.
sophisticated and serene and neutral. And
Oh, it's so cool. It is, yeah, it's so beautiful and inviting. And I love, like, one day I was in that room with the couches, and I think it was probably at that recent event, and I was waiting for the bathroom. And I'm like looking at the bookshelf there, and I'm like, I thought I had read every darn book out there, but there's 1,000 more that I want to read. Like, you could just go in that room and keep, and I think they were in the other room too. I'm like, oh dear God, I'm in trouble. So, yeah. Would you say some about the offerings and kind of like the things that are static in the schedule? And then I know you do special events as well.
So it's always there's sort of like I kind of think of it as layers, right? So like we have a membership and a community of about, I don't know, about 85 maybe women. And in as part of the membership, we have a series of free, offerings that we do every month. So we have a shamanic sound healing and a new moon sisterhood circle. And we do something called Koya, which is a movement practice. It's like dance meets yoga meets oracle circle. Great. And then we also do a Bring Your Soul to Work Day. One, it's like a retreat day every month. It's on Thursdays usually. It's free for our members, but it's also free for first-time visitors. So it's kind of our way of inviting the community to get a taste of the space, of our offerings, and of the women. And then we do a similar program called Soulful Sundays once a month, which again is free for members. It's free for first-time visitors. It's kind of the like, I don't know, the sampler. So that's kind of the heart of what is happening month to month. And then we do all kinds of special events. Like we have speakers like Marianne Williams come in. Last month we had a hand analysis,
Oh,
which is
yeah.
fascinating. Writing retreats, like kind of for me, it's like I cast kind of a wide net. I'm really curious. And so I like to bring in things and you can like taste it. And if it's for you, great. You eat it again. And if you. And then we also do corporate retreats. And something kind of near and dear to my heart, mindful milestones. So we curate threshold celebrations, 60th birthday, divorce, new baby, a croning ceremony. And we love to do that. So it's like this magical urban sanctuary that
Absolutely.
you can sort of like dip in every once in a while, come all the time. It's really, there's kind of a way to plug in for everyone
I love that.
who is
I do.
hungry for
Yeah.
community and connection.
Yeah, and I think too, that kind of model of, I think it's a nice way to think about it if someone is interested in supporting through being a member, is that this is the way I kind of think about things now, is like you not only are gaining a lot from it, but you're also supporting something very essential to a community. And I think last night I went to the One Earth Film Festival, and they had Jane Goodall's Reasons for Hope was their film this year. And they were one part of a recording they had done, said all change comes from community coming together. And that really seems resonant here as well.
I love that. And it's true. It's true, right? Like we have women who are members, who live far away in the suburbs, but they make time and they come once a month to the retreat day, to the open house day, and that's their way of plugging in. And it's true. I feel like there's a lot of women in the community who just want Alter to exist. They believe in it, and whether they use it all the time or they don't use it all the time, it's like we want this to exist. And I,
It's great. Yeah. The altar symbol.
yeah.
What are the three? There's three, I think, parts of it. Will you just say that real quick?
Yeah, so there's actually four.
Four.
So there's a circle with four lines intersecting, and is meant because it's meant to represent the four stages of a woman's life, right? Or the four archetypes: maiden, mother, queen, crone. Because queen is like the latest. There's this extra 20 years between mother and crone now. We're living longer. And of course, I was in the queen stage when I created Alter. So that line is like cuts all the way through the circle. But it's an intergenerational community and intergenerational women's re relationships, particularly with women who are older than me when I was in my 40s, like changed my life. So that's a whole nother through line. But
I love it.
that's where the symbol comes from of just
Yeah.
every life stage being
It's
active.
so simple and like so beautiful, just the gold in it. I think it has. It's just really pretty.
Thank you.
So as we kind of finish up, I just typically ask, like, Kathy, is there any message coming through you that you think is a nice way to end, or like a parting thought to leave with the listeners? It can be, it's usually just what comes to you is whatever's present.
Here's what's coming to me, and it's a little bit kind of what we talked about, but well, it's two things. Like Alter's tagline is come take up space. So like one message is like, gosh, as women, can we just own it? Can we take up space? Can we allow each other and encourage each other to take up space, literally and figuratively? And I do feel that way, that like, the men, and I love men, but like they've had their turn running things, and I want us as women to like make our mark, make our print, take up space, and encourage each other to do that. It's so critical.
Yeah, thank you. I love that. And it's not lost on me that we don't always have to name certain things, because earlier in the recording, I was thinking about the patriarchy. I was also thinking about the divine feminine. And I think a lot when we go to say what we're up to, we might feel like the need for us to use the words divine feminine or certain things, but none of that was necessary today. Like, we touched upon whatever came to us, but this was the divine feminine. This is exactly what it is, right? And like it is about, when you talk about women taking up space, that is overturning what the patriarchy brought apart and what we didn't take up all those years. So it's almost like, and that's the mystical to me too, is like what I've learned through it. It's the unspoken. And it's like the energy beneath the words and the essence. It's such a beautiful word. So that just came to mind.
I love that. I would, can I just say, it reminded me, like sometimes with the right audience, I don't know if I said this at Marianne Williamson or not, but my favorite way to, when people are like, so what is Alter? Like my favorite thing to say is Alter is a portal for the divine feminine masquerading as a co-working and event space. And I really believe that. It's like, you come in and you feel it's like a portal. You don't have to say anything. And we do all these like 3D reality, real amazing things there.
Exactly. Yeah, I love it. Okay. I'll put everything on the show notes and the social media and my email when the time comes. Thank you, Kathy. It has been an absolute delight to have you here today.
Oh, thanks. It's been so much fun. I'm so grateful for the invitation.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And we'll see the listeners in the next episode. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.